Tonight's year, Parshas Bo. Moshe comes to warn Pharaoh about the Makas Arbe. So the Torah relates, after he tells him all about it, what's going to be, Malu Batecha, Vadechal Vadecha, Vadechal Mitzrayim, etc. The Pasuk concludes, Vayifen Vayetze Min Paro. What is the Pasuk telling us over here? That Moshe turned around and he left Min Paro. Why? It's not perish that Moshe saw that the servants of Paro were there watching as Moshe warned them about the Arbe, and they were getting very nervous. They said, oh no, another Makkah, the Arbe, they're going to go everywhere. And they saw how Paro was not reacting. So they're getting very nervous. They said, oh no, he's going to let another Makkah come? But Moshe saw they were feeling this way, but they couldn't say anything because they, you know, felt uncomfortable to starting up with Paro in front of Moshe and Aaron. So therefore, he saw them just, clench their teeth without saying anything. So Moshe said, you know what? I'll make it easy for them. I'll leave. Vayifen v'yetze mein Paro. He turned around and he left, so that now the servants can approach Paro and then tell them what they really think. Once was a maisa with a gadol that he had a mishpat, he had a court case in front of the judges. They were malshing on him, false accusation, whatever. So this gadol was in the court, and there was a group of judges, and the judges wanted to speak kind of amongst themselves, without him understanding what they're saying, so they started speaking in French to each other. In front of him, but they started speaking in French. All of a sudden, the gadol jumped off to the side. So one of the judges says, hey, what are you doing? What are you running away for? You're being judged over here. What? So he says, yeah, I understand. And he starts speaking in French, and he says, as you can see, I speak French fluently. So I understood exactly what you're talking about me, and I didn't want to hear what you're talking about. You want to talk about me in front of me, so it's not nice. So you didn't think I understood French, but I understand French. So therefore I turned to the side. Of course, when they heard his honesty, they immediately were mizake. Okay. Pasuk says at the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Nega Echad Avi, Al Paro, Val Mitzrayim, another Nega. And afterwards, Achareichen, Yeshalach Eschem Izeh, Keshalcho, Kala, totally, Paro's going to get rid of you. Gareish Garech Eschem Izeh, he's going to totally Megareish, he's going to Megareish you, he's going to chase you out of Mitzrayim. Why the emphasis over here? It's on the Sefer Mishnah, to Rabbi Elazar. It explains this based on the Gemara in Baba Metzia. Gemara says, Kol HaMeshaneh, meaning, let's say you have a balabais, he hired a worker, and to do a job, and the worker, in the middle of the job, quits. He goes, I want out, I'm quitting in the middle of the job. Since he quit in the middle, you don't have to pay him anything, not even to the part he worked. Likewise, the other way. If the balabai gave the worker to do, he's working in the middle of the job, he says, I don't want you to work anymore. Fires him in the middle of the job, he has to pay him for the whole job. Amemele, Klal Yisrael was supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. Right? Hashem told Avraham, after being in Mitzrayim 400 years, they were about to leave now, but they hadn't been there 400 years. They were only there for 100 to 210. So one could question, hey, wait a minute, since they're leaving early, they don't have a right to be paid, to take anything of the Mitzrim, because that's the Poel, Yaldo HaTachtona. If the Poel quits, he has to lose everything. He doesn't get paid for anything. So, the Chura, here's Klal Yisrael, the workers leaving early and packing out before the 400 years. They shouldn't get anything. Yet Moshe said, take their things from the Mitzrim. What's going on? So in order to answer this kasha, Hashem told Moshe, don't worry, because Kishalcho Kala Gareshi Garesh Eschem Mizeh. Paro is going to be one that's going to chase you out. You're not going to leave early. He's going to chase you out. The Meila, that's the Balabais quitting early. The Balabais quits, so then he has to pay you not only for what you did, even for the entire job as well. Pasuk says in right after that Pasuk base, Daber na biaznei ha'am yishalu ish meisreu v'isham meisreu v'sav v'chule. So the Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, please speak to the people that they should take the gold, the silver, etc. from the Mitzri. So Rashi says, Daber na ein na ela lashon bakasha. That is a request. I'm requesting, please, you know, please ask the people to take the gold and the silver. Why? Shlo yomar al totzani, Shavar Mavinu shouldn't say that you were, I was Mekayim, Avadum Vinu Osam, but not Acharechen Yetzu Birchush Gadol. So everybody asks the same question. A little strange. Since when do we have to beg a person to take money? Oh, please ask him to take money. Oh, we have to plead with a person to take money. You know, take it willingly, gladly. So it's a great pshat from Rav Zalman Saratsky. It says that history answered this question. When is that? Time of the after the Holocaust. The Germans, they wanted to pay restitution, right, monies to the Yidden that suffered during the Holocaust. So there was a big machloikis amongst the Yidden at the time. Fortunately, not too many of them alive anymore, but the ones that were, you know, were allowed to take this money, this restitution money, there was a shaila if to take or not. There were those that said, of course, you know, whatever they give us is not enough for what they did to our lives, which is true. So, you know, why not take the milk them for anything we can after all they did for us? Others said no. And there were those that Mamish, they didn't even though they had the right to take, they said, I'm not taking a penny from the Germans. Why? Because their feelings were, why should they have a kilu a kapara? They feel, okay, here, we'll pay them some money. Our hands are clean. We paid them. So no, they don't, no money they can pay can you know, make good for what they did. And let them, why should we give them the feeling as if they're paying us off and they're okay now? So those Yidden, they didn't take any money. Machloikas. So Mele, say the same thing over here. He says, beautiful. Right? The same Shaila was over here. They were working in Mitzrayim. The Egyptians treated them terribly. And now they're leaving. Now maybe they should get, you know, restitution. So there could have been those Jews which felt like those Jews that didn't want restitution from the Germans, because why should they have a kilu, feel that they had a kapara? Same thing over here. There might have been those Yidden and said, hey, Moshe, we don't want to take any money. Why should they feel, oh good, we paid off the Jews, we're fine now? No. So therefore, Hashem said, I know there's going to be people feeling that way, but still, Dabir Na, therefore, I'm asking you, please, that they should take it anyway. Why? Shelo yamar al hotzadi, for a different reason, because of Avram Avinu. I don't want Avram Avinu to have times. Pasuk Dalet says, V'yomer Moshe, Ko amar Hashem, this is what Hashem says, Kachatzos halayla ani yotze besochami. He announced to Makas Bechoros that Kachatzos halayla was going to, Hashem was going to come out and kill the firstborn. So Rashi is bothered, what's the kachatzos halayla? They should have said bachatzos halayla, not ka. Kach is like at chatzos. So Rashi says, that brings the midrash, that the reason why he said like, not at chatzos, is because he was afraid that there were those astrologers, whatever, of the Mitzrim, that they would see that it wasn't exactly on their watches or whatever, chatzos. And they would say, Moshe's a liar. Ah, you said chatzos. It really was chatzos. But the way they saw things, it wasn't chatzos. They would say, ah, Moshe's a liar. Question is asked, but why wouldn't they know when chatzos is? Why shouldn't they know when chatzos is? That they make a mistake? It seems like there's some reason why here, Dafk, they would make a mistake and not know when chatzos is. And therefore, Chazal HaMoshe should have to say about at chatzos. So he shouldn't be considered a liar. Why wouldn't they know when chatzos is? It's a great shot from Karen Chemet. It says the following. The Gemara says, beginning of Brachas, Daf Gimel. Gemara says, Machloik is how many mishmaros is the night time? The night is divided into shifts. So Rabbi Lazar says, three shifts. Night is divided into three shifts. Then the Gemara gives a simon to how you can tell when each shift is. The first shift is when you hear the donkeys braying. The second shift when you hear the dogs crying out. And the third is when you hear the husband and wife speaking to each other. That's the sign of the third shift. Then the Gemara says, what are we talking about? These signs. Are these the signs of the beginning of each shift or the end of each shift? Moore says, in either way, it doesn't work out. Because if you're going to say it's the signs of the beginning of each shift, so then why do you need a sign for the beginning of the first shift? The beginning of the first shift was the beginning of the night. You don't need a sign for that. And if you're going to say it's signs of the end of each shift, so then why do you need a sign for the last shift when it ends? We know in the end, the last shift ends, that's the end of the night. That's when the end of the night. So you don't need a sign for that. So therefore, the Gemara says, follow. We need these three signs. The first sign is a simon for the end of the first shift. Not the beginning, we know, and then it's the end of the first shift. The last sign was for the beginning of the last shift. The end of the last shift, you know, it's the end of the night. But it's the beginning of the last shift. And the middle sign was for the middle shift, is for the middle of the middle. So we have a sign for the end of the first, the middle of the middle, and the beginning of the last. Fine. So it comes out that what was the sign for the middle shift? The dog's crying out. What is the middle of the middle shift when the dog's crying? The sign of the middle of the middle shift when the dog cries. When is that? That's Chatzos. That's the middle, exactly the middle of the night, middle of the middle shift. So the simon was, when can you know when Chatzos is? When you hear the dogs cry out, because that's the middle of the middle shift when the Kalavim Tzuakim. But as we see in the Sedra, it says that by Machas Bechoros, that Lo Yechratz Kelev Lashono, the dogs didn't cry out of Machas Bechoros. Memela, there was no sign when there was Chatzos. So Memela, no, Moshe Rabbeinu had to say, okay, they might not know when Chatzos is, so I have to say Chatzos. Beginning of the Perek Yud Beis. Yom Hashem Emotion Ba'aron Beretz Mitzrayim Le'mor HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chadashim. So Chazal tell us HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, that this is one of the three places when Moshe Rabbeinu was not to clear up. Three things the Gemara says in Menachos that he was not sure of when, how, and what. This is one of them. When exactly the new moon was. So therefore, Hashem says, HaKodesh Kazeh, like Kilu Kiviyachol pointed with his finger and says, Kazeh Rei or Kadesh. Like this. You see, when a new moon looks like this, that's a sign of a new moon. So there, the Gras says, there's three places that Moshe Rabbeinu was not, was niskashe, was difficult, he didn't know. And Hashem had to point and show. One of them, as we said, was the HaKodesh, HaKodesh Hazelechem. Another one was the menorah. And another one was, going to one gear, says Shkalim. He showed him the Machatzis HaShekel, didn't know what it was. He showed him the Matbei HaShalesh. So three places we have in menorah, the Shkalim, and HaKodesh. Says the Graf, if you take the Rashi Tevis of these three words, menorah, Shkalim, and HaKodesh, is Mem, Shin, He, spells Moshe. You take the last letter of these three words, menorah, Shkalim, and Chodesh, you have Hey, Mem, Shin, also Moshe. Moshe, Rosh Tevis and Sofei Tevis is Moshe. These three things, Moshe and Niskasha. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita added, he says the Gemara Menachos actually, instead of saying Shkalim, says over there Shratzim. There's Shmona Shratzim that are Metame when they're dead, and Moshe wasn't sure which are these Shmona Shratzim, so Hashem showed him. So says Rav Chaim, even if you exchange Shkalim with Shratzim, you still have your Rashi and Sofei Tevis, because even Shkatzim begin with Shratzim, it's going to begin with Shin and end with Mem, so you're still good instead of Shkalim. Okay. The Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodesh Hashem, which is the head of the month, which is the first of the month, is of course Chodesh Nisan. Chodesh Nisan is the first of the month. There's an interesting remez that Chodesh Nisan is also called Chodesh HaAviv, the months of literally of spring. But Aviv can be broken up into Av Yud Beit. Aviv, Av Yud Beit. It's the Av is the father of the Yud Beit Chadashim. It's the beginning of the Yud Beit Chadashim. Aviv, it's Nisan. Rav Yisrael Mirajin, it's a nice explanation of where is, what's the Chodesh Nisan, what does Nisan mean? So it's Milashan Nes, but he adds to it that the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Nachlam and Gimel, that if you see an animal that is rovetz tachat maso, it's crouching because of the load it has, so you have to help unload the animal and then reload it, whatever. So the Gemara says, when do you have a mitzvah of prika, tina, when do you have a mitzvah? It's only if, says the Gemara, the animal is rovetz, but not Rav Tzan. I mean, Rav Tzan means it happened to lie down from the weight or whatever. But if it's a Rav Tzan, means it's constantly, that's it's the nature of this animal, it's always lying around, it doesn't like to stand. It's a Rav Tzan, so then you don't have to help. You don't have to help if that's the type of animal. It always does. So says Rav Yisrael, what do we see from here? By adding the nun, it makes it constant. Instead of Ravetz is normally Rav Tzan, you add the nun, it means constant. This helps us understand another couple of places. We say on Yom Kippur, right? We do when we're in our Shemana Esrei, right? We say Ataki, Atashem, you're Salchan, Umachalan, right? Leshifte Yeshua and Mechol Dor Vador. We could have said, Hashem, you're Soleach Umachel. What's Salchan Umachalan? Again, adding the nun says not that Hashem, okay, once he forgives us and that's it. No, he's Salchan, Machalan, constant. Every single year, year after year, Chol Dor Vador, he's Mochel V'Soleach. That's the nun. Another place we see this, he says, and the Chazal, on the Pasuk, Lo B'Shamayim Hi, Lo Me'ever L'Yam, etc., says Rashi says Lotimsa es Torah lo v'sachranim belo betagranim, meaning it's you're not going to find the Torah people that work, people that are sachranim tagranim. But lemaisa we see in history there are plenty of gadolim that used to work. So what's pshat? So he's medayik again. It doesn't say by socharim. You're not going to find the Torah by socharim. He says sachranim. Not socher, but sachran, adding the nun. Meaning, what's the nun again? Constant. Somebody who's constantly working, he doesn't set aside time for learning, you're not going to find a Torah by him. Somebody who's a socher, without the nun, he works. Okay, he works a little bit, he learns, fine. You can find a Torah by such a person. But not by a sachran with a nun at the end. That's constant. Memele, Chodesh Nisan is nes, but not just nes, nisan with a nun. To show that it's not just in this Chodesh, not just this door, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu constantly shows us Nisim, and therefore with the Nun, it's a constant, not a one-time Nis in the time of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Hashem, behold over door, is constantly showing us Nisim, and therefore it's Chodesh Nisan with the Nun at the end. Interesting, Diuch, the Belzer Rebbe says, in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph, says about the Korban Pesach. So is how you should eat it. Masnechem chagurim. And it says, Nalechem baraglem u'makelchem b'yedchem. So he says, what does that mean? You eat the Korban Pesach. Nalechem baraglechem. That means that your shoes are in your feet. Shouldn't it say the other way around? That your feet are in your shoes? It says na'alechem beraglechem. It says raglechem benalechem. So, al pi drush, at least, he says that raglechem is the root is ragil, which is hergel. He says the one of the biggest tools of the Yetzer Hara to attack a person is hergel. That habit. Person gets used to doing same thing over and again. He just does it by habit, by route, and that just kills him. Right? And he can't get out of that. He can't go further. He can't go weiter because he's used to day in day out. He just gets into the habit instead of breaking the habit and it being, feeling that the Torah is new. He's Rav Shimshon Pinchas. That's all. He gives the following mashal based on the pasuk in Mishle. Says Hadelas Tisov Al Tzira VeAtzel Al Mitato. Says the door swings on the hinge, and the lazy person is in his bed. So he explains what's the connection between a door and a hinge and a lazy person. He says the following. He says Masha Ponevich Yeshiva in Bnei Brak, right? Nice size yeshiva, say 1,000 bachrim, and the door of the Beis Medrash has a hinge. Has a double hinge, the door goes back and forth in both directions. Now, yeah, let's say for argument's sake, 1,000 boys, let's say. And how many times do they go into the Beis Medrash? Let's say every day, let's say 5 times a day, in and out for Shacharis, and then for Mincha, back and forth to learn schedule. Let's say 5 times they go in and out. So in and out, 5 times, that's 10 times. Okay. Now, so you have 1,000 boys going all together between in and out, 10 times 1,000 is 10,000. So the door goes back and forth 10,000 times a day. Now, how much movement is a door? So it's about a meter each way. It's about 2 meters. So the door moves about 2 meters and 10,000 times a day, which means it basically moves in meters about 20,000 meters a day. Okay? Which is how many kilometers? 20. So the door on the Beis Medrash Aponovich moves 20 kilometers a day. So it should be that after 2 days, the door should be in Yerushalayim. Right? 40 kilometers. Well, but yet, where is it? It's still on the front of the Beis Medrash of the Aponovich. Why? Because of the hinge. Right? The hinge. The hinge is not stopping. It's moving back and forth, but it doesn't progress. It doesn't go anywhere. It's stuck. What's keeping it stuck? The hinge. The Mele, Shlomo Melech's Medame, the door on the hinge, a lazy person. That's a lazy person. He just gets into his route. He doesn't progress. Why? He moves. He does this, he does this, he does this, it is, but back and forth and back, he doesn't move. Why? Just like the door is a hinge that's stopping it, so too the lazy person, that's his habit. The habit is what's stopping him. His hergel can't progress. He moves, but he doesn't move. He doesn't move forward. He stays in the same place. Mele, he said, that's hinted to in the pasuk. That raglechem b'na'alechem. That what you have to take this hergel and na'alechem. You have to linol. You have to lock it. You know, you have to get rid of this hergel that you have, because that is the biggest obstacle for growth in Torah and in Yiras Hashem. Pasuk says, "Shmartem etz esamatzos." So Rashi brings the drasha that al tikri matzos ela mitzvahs. You have to keep the mitzvahs. It's a maisa with Moshe Feinstein's atzal that he was. They had opened up a new matzah factory. So he used to bake matzah in a certain factory, and they opened up a new one. And he invited Ramosha to have a look at it. He wanted to show the new innovations, whatever, to make them kashrus, whatever, so the matzah should come out good, extra mehuder. So Ramosha came and he showed him around. He was very impressed. He saw excellent hidurim, and so he basically decided he was going to start, you know, making his matzahs in this new factory. However, when it came time for the actual baking, he saw Ramosha went back to the old place where he'd been until now. So they asked him, "What happened? How you liked the new place?" He says, "Yeah, I did, but I decided in the end I'm staying where I was. Why? Because I was afraid that if I'd move to the new place, people would start talking and say, 'Oh, why is Ramosha now going to this place? Oh, I guess the first place is not good, it's not kosher, not doing a good job, whatever.' And I don't want to ruin that guy's parnasa. And therefore, in order to, okay, very nice hidurim, but not at the expense of Yid's livelihood. And therefore, he stayed with the first guy." So, it reminds us of the other story which we mentioned before, but we'll mention it again since it's similar. That once sort of Moshe was a guest by somebody, and was sitting at the table, and he wanted to put some milk in his coffee. So he picked up one of the cartons of milk, and then he put it down, and he picked up another carton from a different company, and he picked that up, and he put the milk in his coffee. The Balabais noticed this, you know, how he put the first company's milk down, and he took the second company's milk and used that. So he goes, "Ah," so he thought, "it must be something wrong with the first company, the kashrus or whatever." So he started to mefarsim this, that Ramosha doesn't drink from this company, only this other company. So as soon as people heard that, people started, you know, not buying from them, whatever, and their sales went down. And so the representatives from the companies, we couldn't understand, "Well, what's wrong with our milk? You know, what are we doing wrong?" They couldn't understand. So they sent some representatives to Ramosha to ask him. So Ramosha, what's wrong with our milk? So he goes, "I don't know, what's wrong with your milk?" "Something wrong with your milk." He says, "What do you mean? I heard you don't drink from our milk." He goes, why would you say that? I know what you're talking about." So they said, "No, you mean our milk's okay?" He goes, "Yeah, what's wrong? Nothing wrong with it." So he said, "It's very strange, because the whole rumor came out and everything, and you understand?" So they decided to trace it back. So they traced it back to who started the rumor, and this is the Balabais that Ramosha ate by that day. So they asked him, "Well, why would you spread such a rumor?" So he goes, "Well, it's not, I with my own eyes I saw Ramosha picked up one, and he put it down. He put your company's milk down, and he picked up this other milk kind, he used it." So he said, Okay, so let's ask Rav Moshe. So they asked Rav Moshe, they reminded him of the thing. And he says, oh, of course I remember what happened. He said, yeah, you're right. I picked up the first company's milk carton and I put it down. He says, no, I put it down because it was empty. So, okay. So Maisa once, a city called Plunsk. And there was a wealthy Yid who, for some strange reason, he didn't want to support the Jewish merchants in the town, and he used to do a shopping dafka by the goyim. So shop by the goyim. So one day, the Rav of the town saw this Yid coming out of the goyish grocery store with all his groceries or whatever. So the Rav said to him, "Ah, shalom aleichem, Rav Pesach." So the Yid said, "Excuse me, my name's not Pesach." So he goes, "It's not?" He says, "No." He goes, "Oh." He says, why would you think my name's Pesach? What did you got?" He says, "Oh, I thought Pesach is a good name for you." So he says, "Why?" He says, because it says in this week's Sedra, "Ve'amartem zevech Pesach u'lashem, asher Pasach al batei b'nei Yisrael." Pasach al batei b'nei Yisrael. Are you just like, that's like you pass by the houses of Yisrael. Instead of shopping by the Yidden, you shop by the Goyim. You should be called Pesach. So he goes, "Well, Rabbi, since my name's not Pesach, so what is your name?" He says, "My name's Avram." He says, "Also good." He says, "Why?" He says, "Well, what's Avram stand for?" Hashem changed the name from Avram to Avraham. Why? Because you're Av Hamon Goyim. You're the father of the Goyim. You're the one to support the supporter of the Goyim. You're shopping by them all the time. Avram's also a good name. Yeah, on the same pasuk, "V'martem zevach Pesach u'lashem," the Midrash says, "Mikan shedorshim behilchas Pesach kodem haPesach shloshim yom." From here we see, you're supposed to learn the Hilchas of Pesach 30 days for per Pesach. Where's there a remez to this in the Pasuk? It says, "V'amartem zevach Pesach u'lashem." Where do we see a remez? You're supposed to learn 30 days for Pesach. The Sefer Lechem Oni says like this, "Zevach Pesach." If you take the word Pesach and you zoveh, you cut it. You cut the word Pesach. What meaning? You take each letter, pei, samach, and ches, and you cut it into half. What is pei? Pei is 80 in Gematria. What's half of 80? 40. So that's mem. Gematria, mem. Okay, then we move on. Samach. Samach is 60. You cut samach into half. What's half of 60? 30. What's that in Gematria? Lamed. Okay, so we have mem and lamed so far. And the last letter, ches, is 8. What's half of 8? 4. Which in Gematria? Dalet. So we have mem, lamed, dalet. What does that spell? Nothing. No, but if you take the letters mem, lamed, dalet, it also spells lamed. What's lamed? Lamed, 30. So mele, pasuk says ve'amartem. You should say, meaning you should say the learn about Pesach. When? Zevach Pesach. When you take Pesach and you zovech, you cut it into half, you get lamed, you get 30. 30 days, that's when you, 30 days before, that's when you learn. The end of the Sedra, we have the mitzvah of tefillin. It says, "Vayala os al yadcha l'totafos beininech." This is the drashas of Chazal, the word yadcha, because yadcha should be spelled yud dalet chaf sofis, but it's spelled yud dalet chaf hey, yadcha. Unusual. There are different drashas. The Moshe of Zakeini, Balei Tosa, says you break it up yad yadcha yud dalet chaf, and then the hey. Meaning, it tells us where you're supposed to put the yad, the shell yad. You put it after hey, after five joints. Now you have the joint here, that's number one. Then next joint, number two, and then three, and then four, and then five is your elbow. And then after that, you put your shell yad. Hint. One last word on tefillin. It's an interesting thing once, and I have a little addition. The difference between the shell rosh and the shell yad is the shell rosh has four compartments, and each compartment has a separate parsha in each compartment. Whereas the shell yad is just one big compartment, has all of them in one big parchment, all the parshias. So why the difference? So I saw once a nice pshat, the Otzi Yudias. He says that a person has five senses. Right, there's five senses in a person: sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. Out of the five senses, it's very interesting. four out of the five, where are they located? In the head. What are they? Sights in the head, smell, taste, and sound. There are four out of the five are in the head. The fifth is where? Touch, in your hand. Mele, four, the four compartments in the Shel Rosh are connected to the four senses the person has, which are in the head. And the fifth sense, which is in the touch, was in the hand, that one sense, therefore you only have one compartment here on the Shel Yad. The Chizkuni says something, and I'd like to tie it into this. Chizkuni says that, not about tefillin, but I'd like to tie it in, like we said, that each of the fingers, he says, is used, it was Hashem created it, to mishamesh another one of the senses. There's five senses, we have five fingers, in different sizes. He says, the thumb is for the mouth, to clean out the mouth. I mean, that's why some people suck their thumb. Okay. The index finger is for the nose. We don't have to get too graphic about that. The fourth finger, we'll skip the middle finger. The fourth finger is for the eye. And the baby finger is for the ears. That's what the Chizkuni says. He says the middle finger, that's for the rest of the body. So it comes out, interestingly, I was thinking, that the comes out that the four out of the four fingers that are connected, the four senses of the head, are these four fingers. The middle finger is connected the arm, the body, or whatever, the rest of the body, not the head. So it's probably of no coincidence, therefore, I like to say, that where do you wrap the wines on your finger of your tefillin? Dafka, on your middle finger. Because that's connected, the arm, as opposed to the other four, which connected the rush. We should remember, use our tefillin to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, and just as the Kadosh Baruch Hu was Motzi Otanu Me'eretz Mitzrayim, and he showed us Niflois Rabois Kaini, should show us in the future, the very near future, many more Niflos and Niflos, and Bizoicha to Biasko Tzedek Bimhirav Yameinu.